in your youth, some of you older, some not at all.
I don't know what the situation is exactly in reference to it. But this is predominantly, if you will, for my family. In reference to this, we're going to look at some matters that I hope will be beneficial to you, not only spiritually, but also physically. Paul identified that the gospel is profitable for godliness is profitable for this life and that which is to come. There's things in life that we need to deal with. And we find, we have this matter. Parents have a concern for their offspring. That's just the facts of it. You have Isaac and Rebecca, they were concerned about their son who married a Hittite woman and would take him away from that of serving the true God. Job was concerned about his children because they had got together for a party, basically, and he was afraid that they had transgressed the laws of God, and he was concerned about their spiritual well-being. You have Solomon was concerned about his son, and so we have a whole book of Proverbs that's basically for Solomon's son that he would know what he needed to know. There's a fellow named Henry Stenhouse. One thing about him, he was 100 years old and he ran for Senate. And the reason he ran for the Senate, because he was concerned about his children and about where society was going. And then Edward Knox put him on here because he was actually on People's Court. And so that brings it up a level here of what we've got. All right, and so we have a concern. And I'm going to express that concern, and I'll offer no apologies for that. I want you to know about this information in regard to it. It's going to rely upon this principle that took place with Daniel. Daniel was a prophet. Lived during the time of Nebuchadnezzar, Darius. And he said, when he saw this, the prophecy, I saw a night vision, and behold, there came with the clouds of heaven one like unto the Son of Man, and he came even to the Ancient of Days. And they brought him near before him, and there was given him dominion and glory and kingdom, that all peoples, nations, languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away, and his kingdom that will not be destroyed. That's the kingdom of Jesus Christ, is what that is. That was prophesied hundreds of thousands of years ago in reference to what was going to transpire. We find now, I'm going to go over these passages, and we'll do so quickly. You have the flyer, you want to look them up later and do that. So I'm not going to read all of them, but we are going to reference them. We find that Jesus, in Luke chapter 2 and verse 52, it says that he grew in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. You have the matter of your intellectual, you have the physical, you have your spiritual, and you have your social. Those are four activities you have within your life. Jesus advanced in all of those. And so two factors that were considered within the focus of what we have today was what Joshua said to the people, that he said, choose this day whom you're going to serve. Whether it's going to be the God of the Amorites, those that were on beyond the idolatry that was going on, or whether or not you're going to serve the Lord. He said, and for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 10. Peter identified of characteristics that individuals were to add to their life, and that they were to give diligence to do so, and to make sure that your path is correct. Whatever you choose, you are an individual, you have the right to choose. God gave you that right to choose, and he gives you the opportunities, and he gives you the options. It's your choice. I understand that. I made mine, my wife, we made ours, and this is your choice, but you need to have the information. Right? And that's what I want you to learn today. That's what I would like you to focus on today. To stimulate your thoughts on some things, there's characteristics of life, an existence filled with joy, sorrow, work, loss, tolerance. You wake up every day, and boy, it's a new day. No matter how bad the day was yesterday, it's a new day today, and you have great opportunities. And we begin each day with that desire that all is going to go well. And if it doesn't, we have the assumption of another day, and tomorrow's going to be a better day. We all do that. These are characteristics that we have. In Luke, in 2 Kings chapter 20, verses 1 through 6, there was a king of Judah named Hezekiah, a very good king. He trusted in the Lord. The Lord blessed him. But when he was in his age, he didn't have any children. Now, the The promise had been given to David that through his seed he would put one upon his throne. Hezekiah had no children, but the Lord came to him and he said, get your house in order, you're going to die. And we find that Hezekiah prayed to the Lord. And the Lord said, I'm going to give you 15 years. And it was in that 15-year period that his son was born, Manasseh. And we find that if what would occupy your mind, if the Lord said to you today that it's time, you're going to die, what would you occupy your mind? What are you going to do for the rest of the day? And so that's what we have. We have all of these examples within the Scriptures that identify this. You may believe that life is solely made of material. Thus, Epicurus, 2,300 years ago, believed there is no life, no afterlife, and that's from the Epicurean philosophy. There's not anything that you believe that hasn't already been believed. Solomon said nothing new under the sun. So these positions that you may or you may not hold in reference to your life. But the Epicureans, they didn't fear God, no worry about death. What is good and easy to get, you get it. What is terrible and easy, you endure it. That's life. It's just life. And so, but you view it from a material standpoint, is what it is. Lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, vainglory of life. It's all physical. And once you're dead, you're like Rover. You're dead all over. That's it. There is nothing else to come out of this. You might be, in reference to that, of the Stoic philosophy, in reference to the universe itself is God. And you have the naturalists, the tree huggers, what I call them. That everything's natural in reference to it. Just what life will bring. Everything is subject to the laws of fate. It just happens. How many times do you say, boy, help me ever look? You know, good luck. Life's got nothing to do with luck, okay, in reference to it. The deism is a philosophical position that rejects revelation as a source of religious knowledge and asserts that reason and observation of the natural world will sufficient to establish the existence of a supreme being or creator, but does not interact with the creation or particularly care what goes on. Thus, God created it, believe in the creator, believe God created it, wound it up, and turned it loose. That's the position of deism. And so we find that these are different positions. Judaism, documented record. For 4,000 years, they had a documented record. And it's been documented as such. Christianity is the fulfillment of that 4,000-year-old record recorded by the apostles and prophets of Jesus 2,000 years ago. According to the Pew Research Center, you may be among the newly formed religious community known as nuns or unaffiliated. They just have none. No religion. Nothing. But it's interesting to know that it already has its own designation. If you have no religion, you're unaffiliated, you're a nun. That's what you are. Whether atheist, Christian, or whatever, why do you believe what you believe? Why do you do that? That's a question I want you to answer within your thought process. In the writing of Psalm 14:1, and here's a matter. Folks get really... David said, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. It's a foolish position. And he does so because of their lifestyle. That's not what they said, but how they live. If we live worldly, we're saying there's no God. He's not going to bring us into judgment, is what it said. Talked about this before. There was a lady that... a guy put together a book called The Bible Code and said that the Old Testament was written in code, and you could do like Nostradamus or that sort of thing, and you could determine what your life's going to be like. And the lady, she said, I don't believe that's a code, because if that's a code, there's a God. And I don't believe there's a God, therefore that's not a code. Circular reason. Make sure that you know why you believe what you believe. We find that as far as God's existence, the Apostle Paul said that it is perceived through the things that are made. I don't know how many times I've heard individuals say, you show me God, I'll believe. If I showed you God, He wouldn't be God. Because He's a spirit. Okay? When we do see, just like what Job said, that apart from my flesh, I shall see God. But by then, our life had better be in proper condition. All right, the Bible is the Word of God. Here's the deal. Is it or is it not? It is the Word of God. Here's some evidence that we have. And that's what we do. Any ancient writing Doesn't matter what it is, whether it's Egyptian or Assyrian or whatever it is. What's the evidence that it even existed in the first place to come around to us? The Dead Sea Scrolls, mostly discovered during the last century, contain the earliest known copies of parts of almost every book of the Hebrew Bible. 3rd century BC was when it was found. Now, what I want you to understand, what you do, is that for it to be found and to have been penned in the 3rd century BC, it had to exist before that. Okay? The Septuagint, which is the Greek translation of the Hebrew Bible. And it was also translated out of Hebrew into the Greek prior to the New Testament period of time. The New Testament, you know, there in the New Testament, there's over 3,000 manuscripts of the New Testament. More than any ancient writing on the planet, it has more evidence to its maturity than any other writing that's there. We find Justin Martyr. Now, here's the deal. When did it begin? There's individuals made a statement that Catholicism got a hold of the Bible, and they wrote it so they could control the masses. And men take that position. They want to control the masses, so we're going to create a religion. I deny that that could be done, and if you find somebody that can do that, you have 40 men over 2,500 years, 40 men that records 4,000 years of existence, and they agree. We can't agree in 2 men on things. This, I want you to know, Encyclopedia Britannica. It's not my statements. Justin Martyr was born in 100 AD, died in 165. He was converted to Christianity at the age of 30. The encyclopedia says that he is a crucial witness to the status of the 2nd century New Testament corpus, mentioning the first 3 Gospels and quoting and paraphrasing the letters of Paul and Peter. And he was the first known writer to quote from the Acts of the Apostles. He converted at 30. He died at 65. For him to be able to quote 3 of the Gospels, and to be able to quote the writing of Peter and Paul, and to be able to quote from the Acts of the Apostles, indicates they existed before he did, that they existed. And Catholicism had absolutely nothing to do with this. And it agreed with what we have as far as the record of the New Testament is concerned. We have evidence. And individuals that will deny that the Bible is the Word of God, they do it in lack or as opposed to the evidence, not because of the evidence. These writings are in museums. They're in vaults. They have all of this, and the evidence points to the reality of the existence of these writings prior to 300 AD, and prior to, 1611 with the development of the King James Version. They've been there. And we find that God has made provisions for us. Romans chapter 2 and verse 14 identifies that the Gentile, now he had the law of Moses, and he had what the Gentiles do. They did by nature the things that were contained in the law. They did by nature. God has put in us a nature of laws. And we have to think, you have a whole lot of people that are good people. Don't deny that. They're good people, and some, they're not any different. We're not any different than any others. But God has put in each one, no matter what country you go to, no matter what society you go to, there are innate laws, and predominantly follow the same course as what the Lord reveals in the law of Moses with the Ten Commandments. How is that? God has placed it within them that whatever they do, they will either be excused or not excused. And it's those innate laws that we violate. When we have a society without laws, we have chaos. And there is a supreme law giver. God spoke. What happened to them before there was a written record? What about those folks? God spoke to the fathers through the prophets. Hebrews chapter 1 tells us. Oral. He spoke to the fathers. Men spake from God, being moved by the Holy Spirit. That's how God made the provisions. He can do that. He knows what to do to keep people in service to Him, to give them the option within their life. And so what they did not have written, they had orally. And what they didn't have that, they had innate. It's those innate laws we violate. And when we violate those innate laws, we transgress the laws of God. And that's what sin is. It's missing the mark. And so when that happens, it separates us from God. Death is just separation. Physically, it's separation of the body and the spirit. Spiritually, it's a separation of the fellowship with the Father. Because He has no sin. And will not have it within His purview. And so we have that. So God has provided that. That's how He's provided the Scriptures for all the world that He's done that. In Genesis 1:1, God created the heavens and the earth. In Isaiah 43, verses 1 and verse 7, we find that God created all things, He says, for My glory. God says, I created you for My glory. Folks, that's kind of egotistical. Your life, your art, your whatever you make, whatever you do for Your glory. You've been created in the image of God. You take pride in what you've got. What you own is yours, right? Is it okay if I take it? He says, you can't take it. That's mine. It's what God says about us. Right? We belong to Him. He said, I did it for My glory. And we find that in Genesis chapter 2, verse 16 and 17, we find that God had the right to command, that He told Adam, He said, that of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day you do, you will surely die. They died that day, spiritually, not physically. But Satan says, you're not going to die. And they didn't, physically. He approached it from a natural standpoint. So what he said to her was right. You're not going to die physically, but the death came spiritually. And every violation of law requires a recompense, if you will, or reconciling, whether it's your family, whether it's the society we live in, whether it's the nation we live in or the world we live in. We find that it requires something done for the retribution that is brought about by transgression. Deuteronomy 4, 1 through 3, and verses 6 through 8, we find that God was the source of Israel's laws, and He says in reference to it that He does so for your good always. There's not anything in the laws of God that is not good for us individually, family, city, state, nation. It's all good. As long as we understand what He's saying. In reference to it. And that's what we do. And so we have that. The bad news. Here's the bad news. There's all bad news, good news. You have that every day. The bad news. Romans 2, 14 through 15. That God has placed within man an innate law that the Gentiles did by nature, the things contained in the law. Innate laws. When man violates those laws, he misses the mark for which he has been created. It produces a separation between man and his creator. We have that spiritually, we have it physically, we have it in families, we have it in all of this. Of missing the mark causes problems, difficulties, law violation physically, and it also does spiritually. Romans chapter 5 and verse 12, sin entered into the world through Adam. Unto all men, sin is brought for all sin. All missed the mark. Adam, we don't inherit Adam's sin. Okay? Original sin. We don't inherit his sin. We're separated from God because we do it. Right? He ushered it into the world, and Jesus ushered in, because transgression can be summed up in these. Here's the law. Here's the Lord's identified in the Roman letter, Romans chapter 1, of what He identified. And I don't know, just pick one.
Okay? Just pick one. There's not a one of us that has missed this.
All right?
What did he say? Even as they refuse to have God in their knowledge. I don't want it. I don't want it. We ever done that? God gave them up unto a reprobate mind that's missing the mark. If you want to live that way, I'll let you live that way. That's what God said. And if God does that, it's not within us to make any difference. It's your choice, my choice, whatever choice we make. And he said, being filled with, and this is the lifestyle. And that's what this is. Do Christians sin? Yes. But it's not a lifestyle. Right. So what's the lifestyle? Being filled with all unrighteousness, wickedness, covetousness. That's covet is, you got it, I want it, and I don't want you to have it. That's what it is, covet. I see what somebody else has, and I want it, and I don't want them to have it. You ever done that? Full of envy. You ever been envious of someone? Murder? You know, the matter of murder, the law said thou shalt not kill. The Lord said you don't even speak evil. That's where it starts. Killing is the end result. The beginning is hating your neighbor or your brother or whatever the case is. That will lead to it. Strife, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, hateful to God, insolent, haughty, boastful, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents. The Lord is making record of that. Without understanding, covenant breakers. They don't fulfill the covenants that they made. Make a covenant and then they don't fulfill it. Without natural affection. That's like a love that an old mother dog has for her pups. And we have people today that have lost that natural affection we had in Oklahoma. Here it is that they had, there was three adults. There was the stepdad, the mom, and the stepbrother, and they had a boy that was living in the barn, starving to death. Natural affection. Society has lost that. Unmerciful, who knowing the ordinance of God, that they that practice such things are worthy of death. Yep, they got it coming. Okay, not only do the same, but consent with them that do it. Well, I'm not going to do it, but that's what, you know, consent with it. You apply these to the laws of the land, and you'll find that there's consequences associated with it. Well, God has his consequences associated with it as well. And that's where these transgressions can be summed up, you know. All of these cause problems and difficulties in life, physically as well as spiritually. Romans 6:23, whereas the wages of sin is death, this is the good news. That's what gospel is, good news. There was bad news. This is what separated us from God. Here's the good news. We find that whereas wages of sin is death, eternal separation from God, God provided the means whereby man can obtain eternal life. That gospel message of where we find that Titus identified that the grace of God had been revealed from heaven, instructing us to the intent that now denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live godly and righteously in this life. Godliness is not being godlike. Godliness is recognizing God's right to rule in our life. That's what it is. And so we find that that's the message of the gospel. Romans 1 verse 16, the Apostle Paul said that that which is contained in the gospel, he said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God unto salvation. This is the mechanism through which God says, I'm going to reconcile this. You have fathers and sons that have conflict. They have difficulty. Some of them that they get what, they're out of the inheritance. Whatever it is, whether it's in the family, fathers to sons, sons to fathers, mothers to daughters, in-laws to outlaws, whatever it is, Paul said in reference to it, or the Lord did, that the man's foes will be they of his own household. They happen. And the great good news and joy is the day when they're reconciled. They're reconciled. And that's the good news. And Paul said that's the mechanism by which the Lord had identified. Obtaining salvation requires Jesus came to seek and to save that which is lost. I forget what I have on this coming up, but I want to mention this as we start. If there is not a universal law giver,
higher than man. If there's not a universal lawgiver, then any law, anything you think, anything you do, is just your opinion. That's all it is. Hitler, bad guy. Not if there's not a universal lawgiver. It was just his opinion. It don't matter. Jeffrey Dahmer? What's wrong with what Jeffrey Dahmer did? Well, it's against the law, but there is no universal lawgiver, so that was just his opinion. Or your opinion, or my opinion. And you see all the travesties that go on in the world, if there is not a universal lawgiver, it's just your opinion. And if it's just your opinion, then no man, no group of men, no nations, no anything have a right to command you to do anything. But they do. James Adams indicated that the Constitution, and people try to do away with the Constitution, it's like this. The Bible is the Word of God. What's your option? The Constitution is wore out. What's your option? Young lady come home and her professor, whatever it was, said, well, we'll find out the Constitution is not, it's out of date. Dad asked, what are you going to replace it with? Well, he didn't say that. You got all the options, you got all the evidence, the part of it, but you don't have another option. You have to refuse truth in reference to it. So understand, if you take the position that there is no universal lawgiver, then the world is run by their opinion and they can do whatever they want with you and yours, and you have no right to go to law against them. That's where that goes. So you end up with North Korea. North Korea, Christianity, they will kill you, because they believe it's a threat to their national security. They'll kill you for it. And there's still people who go over there and preach the gospel. That's what's set before them. All right. John chapter 3, verse 16-17. About everybody's heard this. God so loved the world, he gave his own begotten Son. You know, love is not that mushy love. This is love. 1 Corinthians 13, you didn't read that, because it identifies what love is. Love will not do anything that is contrary to the well-being and benefit of the recipient. And God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son. But it requires, verse 36, for all those who believe on him, they have that eternal life, but it requires obedience. Folks say, I believe in Jesus, and they go on living like the devil. And Peter identified the difference between those that live for the devil, those that live for the Lord, and ones that follow after whatever they do. Okay? If you run around with outlaws and you do what outlaws do, you're an outlaw. Pretty simple. That's what the Lord had indicated. In Romans 6, verse 16 through 18, that Paul said that you are servants of whom it is you obey. If you're a lawbreaker, that's what you are. What you are. If you're a lawbreaker. Acts 17, 30 and 31, God has prepared a day in which he will bring into accountability it is required, and that he commands all men everywhere that they should repent. Repent of the worldliness, the lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, faith, vainglory of life. Repent. Turn. Turn to serve the Lord. What has the Lord done for your benefit? He was willing to give his Son. And he has been proven to be the Son of God by the resurrection of the dead. He appeared to the apostles. He appeared to up to 500 at one time. And the evidence is there of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And that was there. And in doing so, he had become the author of eternal salvation. He went, we started with Daniel. He went before the Lord. And what was given to him was kingdoms and nations. And he set up the kingdom. That's what he did. Colossians chapter 1, verse 13, that the Apostle Paul identifies that those who obey the God, they've been translated out of the power of darkness. Without the blood of Christ, without that release, you are bound to the devil, and there's absolutely nothing you can do about it. But obedience to the gospel, you're translated out of the power of darkness into the kingdom of the Son of His love. That's what the Scriptures tell us. That's what this writing tells us. That's thousands of years old, has been proven to be so, and you'll not find any, you might find some misspelling. Yeah. Well, there's 500 contradictions. This one spells Noah N-O-E, this one does N-O-H. Contradiction. They're just grasping at straws. That has to do with translation in reference to it. But to be translated out of the power of darkness into the kingdom of the Son of His love is something that God has done for us. What is required to access the kingdom? Matthew chapter 28, verse 19. Jesus sent His disciples into the world to preach the gospel to every creature, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. In John chapter 17, in verse 20, He said, in verse 17, sanctify them in truth, His prayer to the Father, sanctify them in truth, Thy word is truth. He said, not only, verse 20, do I pray for them, but for all them who will believe on me through their word. That's a process God has set up. Comes through the word of the apostles. Acts chapter 2, verse 37 and 38. This is a divine commentary. The Lord said, you go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and baptized shall be saved. He that disbelieveth shall be condemned. You preach that to him. And in Acts chapter 2, we say, well, Peter, what does that mean? Acts chapter 2, when the individuals that were there heard that they had been guilty of crucifying the Lord, they asked the question and found out, you're right in the path of the wrath of God. What are you going to do? They said, what shall we do? And Peter said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, unto the remission of your sins. Acts chapter 2, verse 26, the Apostle Paul, you probably heard the story. He's on the road to Damascus. The Lord appeared to him. Paul said, what must I do? He said, you go into Damascus, it'll be told you what to do. Understand, sin is what separates us from God. Even though the Apostle Paul was on the road to Damascus and the Lord spoke to him and he got his attention. Okay, I think, would that get your attention? Or mine? Would that get yours? We don't have to go through that, okay? And so Paul went into the city 3 days. He was praying, fasting. That's a sign of remorse, is what that is, biblically. 3 days. And a guy came to him. Matter of fact, the Lord told Ananias, you go and talk to Paul. He said, he kills Christians. He kills guys. I don't want to go. I don't want to. So he goes. And he goes in and he tells Paul, why tarriest thou? Rise and be baptized and wash away thy sins. He still had his sins laid to his account until he was obedient to the laws of God. Folks say, what does that baptism do? Doesn't, you know, take a bath. Doesn't do. God said, this is what I'll do if you will obey me in this area. This is what I'll give you. How does the blood of Christ help us? God said, I'll accept that sacrifice. That's where faith comes in. God said, I'll do it. Abraham believed God. He also believed in God. But he believed God, that God would do what he said he was going to do. So we find that in reference to this message, that we have this of John chapter 17, verse 20, that message must be heard, and that message must be believed. He that believeth that is baptized shall be saved. He that disbelieveth shall be condemned. Not condemned because he doesn't believe. Individuals have said, if you don't obey the gospel, you're lost. You're already lost. A lack of not obeying the gospel is not what separates us. The gospel saves. That's what it is. It saves. Because God said that's what He would do. Acts 17, verse 30. He commanded that all men everywhere should repent. In Acts 22, 16, be baptized to wash away thy sins. People that have... We live in a society right now that we got young children committing suicide. They have no hope. They look at the world from a natural standpoint. They have no hope. Why? Why go through all of this? And they don't. The result, Romans chapter 6,
and verse 1. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. He who died to sin, how shall we any longer live therein? Or are ye ignorant? Now that's just a lack of knowledge. We kind of dress it up so it doesn't sound near as bad. Okay, but are ye ignorant? Yet lack that knowledge that all we who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into His death. We were buried therefore with Him through baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we also might walk in newness of life. For if we have become united with Him in the likeness of His death, we shall also be in the likeness of His resurrection. Knowing that our old man was crucified with Him, that the body of sin might be done away, that we should no longer be in bondage to sin. Christian sin. John said, if you say you have no sin, you're a liar. That's got to get you becoming a goer. And truth's not in you. The only difference in Christians and people in the world is salvation of Jesus Christ. That's the only difference. We still have problems. We still have difficulties. We still sin. But it's not a lifestyle. And that's what we need to rest assured that God will provide. That's what the Lord said. That's what the gospel says. I want you to know it. All right. I'm done here. If you have it, I'm going to have a kind of an informal thing tonight, 5 o'clock. If you want to be here, that's great. Okay? Kind of questionnaire. If you have questions, I'll be here to help answer them. If you don't, that's fine. Opportunity. That's all I'm providing is the opportunity. So if you have those, we'd be more than happy to help you. This is what the gospel is. That's what it says. That's what God has done on our behalf. Robert selected a song.
What am I doing?